Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Big Life. I'm Jeff Mitchell. I'm the minister here. I want to give you a special welcome today. Observation that I think is relevant for many of us today. It was about 2 months ago that I realized I'm standing for about 57 of the 66 minutes of our worship service. And so we would stand and sing our opening songs, and then we would greet each other, and then we would stand and sing some more songs, and then we'd stand and pray. And then everybody else would sit down, and I'd stand up and talk. And so I think it was about 2 months ago that I realized, I'm going to start sitting when you stand, since you sit when I stand. And so if you've ever noticed that at the beginning of worship, I'm kind of in the back, usually sitting at one of the tables. And then when we come up here and you're praying, you're like, look at our lazy minister. He can't even stand up. He's just sitting over there while we're praying, honoring God. And he's doing who knows what. I think that there was a realization of my own limitation. And a realization of the limits of my own strength. And I wanted to give everybody in this room today permission to accept the limitations of your own strength. Some of us have battled some painful stuff this week. Some of us are still crawling through some difficult transitions that we don't even really want to talk about. And you think you got to stand through it all. I just want to give you permission to, in the name of Jesus Christ, sit down and rest. And let his strength be enough. There's times that God wants us to stand and to move forward. And then there's plenty of other times where we just need to be carried by God. So I want to give you permission today, while you're sitting, to sit, to rest, and to lean into a God who does not expect you to be him, but simply wants to be him for you. So let God be God for all of us that are weak today. Let's pray for a second. Father, we know that life is difficult, but once we accept that, it's not so difficult anymore. We sit before you, God. We stand in worship. We kneel before you in prayer, but what we ultimately need, Lord, is for you to be a God of strength and abundance for us who are hurting, broken, and feeble. Your strength is sufficient, God. Let it be true in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a quote that I have never, ever forgotten. It's a documentary on the Empire State Building. When I can't sleep at night and there's a good documentary on, whether it's on the History Channel or PBS or anything else that you pay $110 to get that you never watch, I watch the documentary on the building of the Empire State Building as well as the flourishing of it as a landmark in New York and a landmark in our country. They interviewed the guy who runs the elevator all the way up to the observation deck. And they interviewed him, and I have never seen a guy so excited to push a button. I mean, the energy that he had was like popping through the screen of how excited he was to have the job that he had. And I'll never forget what he said. I get to show people something they've probably never seen before. That kind of motivation made him get up, work this job. I have a feeling it's not like a seven-figures job. That he is there, he is excited, he is dealing with petty tourists in New York, but he is delighted. Because if you've ever been to the observation deck of the Empire State Building, it is amazing. And he stands there, and he welcomes people off that elevator, and he lets them see what they've never seen before. And before the age of where everybody had a camcorder in their pocket, it was a big deal to get a picture from atop the 84th floor of the Empire State Building where people were able to see something they'd never seen before. You know, there's something powerful in watching people open their eyes to see what they've never seen before, to observe what they knew was there but they'd never been able to lock eyes with. I think there is an excitement that I desire that man on an elevator in New York possesses in watching people see what they've never seen before. In some ways, I kind of wish that was the mission statement of our church. You know, I like the mission statement of our church, to share Jesus with people that don't go to church. But the next step is really to help people see what they've never seen before. To let people that have had no faith see faith. To let people that don't know forgiveness see forgiveness. To people that live the meat grinder life of suburbia that we have all bought into, understand that there is something significant that they can see in their lives and ultimately recognize that whether they knew it or not, or whether they had seen it before or not, God was working in their life. There is nothing I love more about my job than watching someone describe to me, with words they're not even sure how to put together, God working in their life. Seeing something that they had never seen before. I bet for some of you that have been doing this for a little while now, maybe you've been making worship part of your life for 6 months or for a few years, and you're taking those next steps beyond curiosity and towards growth, you begin to see what you'd never seen before. God working in your life. If you have found a way to love your spouse through difficult times in a way that you couldn't before, you are seeing God work in your life. If that bitterness that has grown inside of you somehow is eroding little by little, and you recognize it, and maybe more importantly, the people around you recognize that, you begin to see what you've never seen before, which is the hand of God, the God who created the universe, reaching into your ordinary suburban life and saying, I have something I want to do inside of you. Will you let me? Will you see it? I love it when people get to see what they've never seen before. When you start to believe this, when you start to see this, there's one truism about how God works in our life that becomes very real. If you're into writing stuff down or taking pictures of things, this is something I want to encourage you to buy into, because it's what I want to talk about on this subject. I believe that God brings people into your life that bring you closer to Him. I believe that God brings people into your life that will bring you closer to Him. Now, this is more than just, Lord, I'm single and I'm praying for my soulmate, and if they're really rich and really hot, I know it's your will. It's not that. It is a I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. You know, and some of you are like, hot, no big deal, rich, yes. God brings people into your life that bring you closer to Him. When you begin to see that God has a desire to bring you closer to Him, there's like a gravitational pull towards heaven inside of your life. You realize that this is just not God working on His own, that people are almost sent into your life to nudge you, to lead you, to encourage you, and point you towards the God that wants to be in a relationship with you. See, I think we think of relationship as the world as one of two false dichotomies. When we think about how the world works, we buy into one of two false dichotomies. One of them is everything happens for a reason. We believe that God is like pulling every single string. Drunk driver car wrecks, God wanted it to happen. Don't question His will. I don't believe any of that garbage. I believe that human beings have free agency in order to have control and responsibility over their lives. We sometimes think that that everything happens for a reason, but we also sometimes think everything is random. And that's not true either. We don't just live by the consequences of our choices. Somewhere in the middle is a God who is reaching into our life in a sovereign and providential way and wanting to work in the middle of the world to pull us closer to Him. And I have found that when we are able to spot that God is putting people into our life for that purpose, we have reached a level of maturity that I long for you and that God desires for you. How do I know this is true? She tells the story much better than I do, but when Marissa was a single mom living here in Chicago with a 5-year-old boy, she was working at Back Rack at the Fox Valley Mall. Anybody go get a tie at Back Rack 10 years ago? at the mall. Marissa probably sold it too. She told me this story numerous times, almost like an aside. I don't know the guy's name. I don't know anything about his faith. But he just mentioned to her when she was going through this transition, you know, you should come to the church that I go to all the way up in South Barrington. A church called Willow Creek. And it was there that she had this, you know, guy that she worked with for a few months invite her to go to worship. And there she showed up. And there she heard the story of a God that loved her. And there she found a worship service that was better than just kind of the random worship services we grew up with and the kind of church I grew up in. But most importantly, there she found her way back to God. Now here's the deal. This didn't become like a best spiritual buddy. This didn't become somebody she sat next to in worship every week. This was God's way of saying, I need you to know me. And I'm just going to send somebody that way to nudge you closer to me. People bump into our lives for the purpose of bringing us closer to Him. There are relationships that are not accidents. There are encouragings and promptings from other people that are not random. They are of God. And anytime you find yourself pausing or wondering, you know, what decision should I make in response to somebody that I'm around? Or maybe should I be open to somebody, should I be open to a relationship with God because of what somebody else says? You are, make no mistake, God is after you. My last semester in college, I only had to take 3 classes to graduate. First class I had to take was Senior Thesis in Religion, where I had to write a 20-page midterm paper and turn it in to all my peers for them to review it and critique it in the class. So if you ever wanted to write a 20-page paper and let everybody tell you how dumb you are, that's the class you took. So I took that. The second class I took was 20th Century Philosophical Theology, which if you cannot sleep, I have the book still. You will sleep. But the third class is the one I loved. Bowling. So we've got Senior Seminar in Religion, we've got Philosophical Theology, and we've got bowling. Guess which one the football player signed up for? Philosophical Theology. No, bowling. You got 3 credit hours at my university for going to bowling. You show up, you put your shoes on, bowling shoes. They were not hip then like they are now. Ugly, smelly bowling shoes, and line up to bowl. And you did this 2 days a week for a semester, and it was pass-fail that they had changed the semester before I signed up for it. Because, man, I was gunning for an A on the way out the door. It was then that I saw at this bowling class what we did not have when I was a little kid that I wish we did, that now is commonplace. Bumpers. Anyone know what bumpers are? Now, if you got little kids now, you're like, oh, I know what a bumper is. You never can bowl a gutter. When you can throw it as far as you can and as hard as you could towards the gutter, and it's going to bounce back to the center. These things are literally designed for you to come up and throw the bowling ball down the lane, and even if it bounces back and forth 5 times, you're eventually going to get something accomplished and end up where you're supposed to be. Those bumpers serve the simple purpose of putting you back on the path. We believe in a God who sends people into our life to put us back on a course towards Him. When we find ourselves discouraged, don't be surprised when God puts somebody in your life as a bumper to move you back towards a path of encouragement. When you find yourself unable to be generous, don't be surprised when God begins to send somebody into your life that is going to nudge you back towards a path of generosity. If you can't forgive, God is going to put somebody in your life that is going to have gone through something 10 times harder than you, that they have found a way to forgive, and you're going to get nudged closer towards the direction where God ultimately wants you to go. See, we believe in a God that puts bumpers in our life, and if you don't see it, you are missing out on the gifts God is giving you almost every day. Because God brings people into our lives to draw us closer to Him. I bet you could think of somebody just right now, couldn't you? Somebody that showed up. They didn't become your new best friend. But somehow, some way, God used them to put you back in the center of the lane and start again and start again. And in the end, grow closer to Him. There's a wild story in the Bible that I want to share with you that summarizes in a way that I love what we're aiming at today. If you have a Bible, I want you to look at the book of Acts, chapter 10. The whole 10th chapter of Acts is this story. So if you get home and you're like, man, I wish Jeff would have preached longer, you can read the whole 10th chapter of Acts and get this story. What happens is, there's two characters in this story. The book of Acts is, Jesus has died, Jesus has risen from the dead, Jesus has ascended back up to the right hand of the Father, as the creed says, and the church is just doing church things without Jesus around. And so like the physical walk and talk, Jesus is gone, but the church is starting to grow throughout the Roman Empire. And that's what happens in the book of Acts. It's like the story of the growth of new believers. One of the characters in this story is a fellow by the name of Peter. Now, Peter is famous for denying Jesus how many times? Three times. Yet the guy that denies Jesus three times eventually becomes the leader of the church. This is going to sound so arcane to you. Give me 20 seconds. If I lose you, I'll tell you when you can pay attention again. Everybody that followed Jesus before he died was a Jew. Everybody that believed in Jesus after he was risen from the dead was likely a Jew. And what the church had to wrestle with in the first 10 chapters of Acts was this. Do you have to become Jewish before you become Christian? Two questions they made you deal with. Do people that don't follow the dietary habits of the Jews, which boils down to essentially one thing, don't eat pork. Now, I love Jesus, but I really love bacon. And for Jewish people, there's one thing of diet. You ever heard the phrase kosher? To be kosher is to have obliged, is to follow the strict dietary rules as laid out in the Old Testament. And most people around the world did not follow that. So the first question is, do you have to eat like a Jew to be a Christian? And then the second question that they wrestled with was, do you have to become circumcised before you get baptized? Now, I will not make any jokes about that. But that was a huge issue in the early church, was that there were basically men that said, if I had to do it, you had to do it. And this conflict came to a head in the 10th chapter of Acts, where Peter, the leader of the church, has a dream from God that says both those things don't have to be that way anymore. Oops, I jumped the gun on that. Can you guys back up for like 8 seconds? All right. So Peter is sitting on a roof, and he's praying. And on the roof while he's praying, he sees this white cloud come down. It's like a sheet, the book of Acts says. And on this sheet are every kind of animal that you can think of, all the way down to a smelly pig that kosher Jews are not supposed to eat. And Peter sees this defiled stuff on this white sheet. And he hears a voice from God that says, take and eat. And Peter's like, no. This is a trick question. Jews don't do this. And then the voice of God says, anything that I made, don't you dare call dirty. And he tells him, there's somebody that's going to come and knock at your door. When they knock at your door, you pay attention. Next paragraph is about a guy by the name of Cornelius. For those of you that are going to have children or grandchildren down the road, don't name them Cornelius. But there was a fellow by the name of Cornelius that was a leader in the Roman army. He was of the empire that was set out to oppress the Jews and then later the Christians. And what happened was Cornelius is praying as well. This is a guy that loves God, that offers prayers, that gives offering to the poor. And Cornelius has a vision from God that says, this guy Peter lives at this address. I want you to go bring him to your house. Cornelius sends people to Peter's house. Peter says, I was expecting you. And they come together. And in the middle of this awkward living room, two people that had never been together, two people that would never be together again, both found a pathway that God wanted them to find because they were open and aware of what God was doing in their life. Peter realizes that you don't have to be kosher to love Jesus. You don't have to be circumcised to be baptized. And the Jews that had said, we only spend time with Jews, never with Gentiles, which is everybody that's not a Jew, he says, that doesn't have to be that way anymore. This is what we read in Acts 10. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And now he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We flip around to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that's the people that are with Peter, had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. So they received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This has the potential to sound like a weird, obscure, overtly religious story about tedious details that none of us understand. And there was even a danger in me, you know, reading about it and talking about it out loud, but I really want to narrow it down to this to serve up to you. If Cornelius had not been sent into Peter's life, Peter might have gone to his grave believing that only Jewish people could be saved. And if Cornelius had not been open to Peter being sent into his life, he and his whole family never would have known the good news of Jesus, which the story ends with all of them being baptized. You see, when you begin to recognize the people that God providentially directs into your life, you begin to see what you've never seen before. And what we realize is this. We belong to a great story. We belong to a God who is is interested in the little details of our life. This is a God who is awake before our alarm goes off and is as curious and interested in our life as we could ever imagine him to be. You see, we believe in a God who is at work in our world and is at work in you. See, the big wall that I will always bump up against and what I long for in your life is this. People will say, yes, Jeff, I love God. Yes, I believe in the gospel. Yes, I think we should share it with everybody. And then the next question is, what is God doing in your life? Well, I don't know. Who am I to think that God would work in my life? I want you to know and I want you to believe and I want an openness of the door right now in this space to be there in your soul for you to realize that God is working in your life. He is sending people to draw you closer to him. He is nudging you to the direction that he wants you to be. And he has connected you to the good news, which is an eternal story that you get to belong to. You see, we belong to a relentless God who is desperate to reach us, who will not give up until he has our whole heart. And the way that he will go after us is often through the person to our left, and to our right, and to the people that show up in our life the other 6 days of the week. I have a friend of mine that is in the Washington State Legislature out on the West Coast. And about the only toe I ever dab in politics is I give him $25 every election cycle just to let him know that I'm praying for him. And number two, I'm going to hold you accountable when you end up in jail. That's what I tell him. But a friend of mine named Dave that I met many years ago, and here's the problem of the donation that I made. You end up on a political listserv, you get like 37 emails a day. Does anybody like subscribe to a campaign or a local politics? And you get one, next thing you know, you get like 50 a day. And so I unsubscribe from every single cause that wants to get $25 from me as fast as I can. And I finally told him on Facebook chat one time, like, Dave, I get your one email, I give you $25, and I unsubscribe. But I got to let you know your unsubscribe button is not working. Because like a week later, I end up getting another email, and then I unsubscribe, and then I get another email. And that's when he let me in on the dirty secret. He said, you got to unsubscribe 7 times from my listserv in order to not get any more emails from me. And he said, I got a bunch of money to sell your email to people who will not let you unsubscribe until you have unsubscribed 7 times. I said, why is that? That's annoying. And he said, most people don't make it to 2. He said, eventually people will just give in and keep receiving what it is that he wants to give you. That is a persistence that I am annoyed by, but I can appreciate. But that is a persistence that God has for you. You can turn your back on God once. You can turn your back on the people he sent to you twice. You can disconnect from the community for a while, but make no mistake, you can't unsubscribe from the love of God that is pursuing you right now, even in this place. You know, I hate to put it down like in cowboy terms, but you can run, but you can't hide. God wants you. God wants a relationship with you. So do not be surprised when he is persistent in sending people into your life to bring you back to him. A couple questions I want to close with to wrap up our message today. Number one, who has God sent into your life to nudge you closer to him? This does not have to be your new best friend. This does not have to be something that you trade prayer requests every day. But I bet if you are honest and kind of dial back over your last few weeks or last few years, you can find somebody that nudged you closer to God, that you realize this was not an accident. This is who God sent into my life to move me back to the center of the lane at the bowling alley, to move me back to the path that Christ has for my life and the purpose I was created for. Who has God sent into your life to nudge you closer to him? Chances are it's not one. If you're like me, you need somebody about every 6 weeks. That's okay. Who has God sent into your life to nudge you closer to him? I'll never forget, I was at a real crossroads in my life. I was trying to decide whether I was going to continue to be a minister or not. I was trying to decide whether Marissa and I were going to get married or not. I had some big changes I need to make to make both of those things happen in terms of, like, I'm going to have to rent a house, I'm going to have to get a job, all that kind of stuff. And I was at a meeting in Texas where a lot of that stuff was getting sorted out with some people. And I had to fly back to Peoria Airport. And I sit down on an airplane and there's this guy right next to me. And I was hoping that there was nobody in the middle. And this guy plops right down next to me. And about 8 minutes after the plane took off, he's like, what were you doing in Texas? And I committed I wasn't going to say a word. And like 30 seconds later, I was just emotionally throwing up all over him about transitions and prayer. And, you know, this happened and this happened and I want to do this, but I don't know. I don't know this guy's name. I remember the church he worked at, but now I can't remember the name of the church he worked at. But what I do remember was he looked right at me and said, I'm going to pray for you. And I thank God that we got to sit knee to knee on this 2-hour flight. That's what God needed me to hear. I bet if you're honest enough, it might not be that dramatic. It might not be a minister from Texas that you sit next to on a plane, but I bet you can answer this question with some honesty. Who has God sent into your life to nudge you closer to him? The second one is going to sound almost too mystical or weird for us, but I'm going to give you an example you're going to believe in. What has God sent into your life to get your attention? What? When we first were starting this church, Marissa had decided, let's be creative in some of the advertising that we did. And so we did some ads on Facebook, and Marissa stumbled on to Google Ads, which you basically give Google $100, and they will spend it as fast as they can for you on searches that you set up. And so when somebody would search Church Oswego, the very first thing at the top would be Big Life Community Church, a new congregation formed at Oswego East. Nobody was clicking on that. Nobody. So she decided to get creative. And I can't believe I'm going to tell you all this, but this is why we have kids' church. For a week, every person that searched for pornography inside of this area code, the first link they found was Big Life Community Church. And we spent $100 in a day that we were not able to empty out in 2 weeks of somebody looking for a church. And so I don't know what per click that is, but what I know is this. If we'd have put $1,000, we would have spent $1,000 in somebody branching out to do something they should not do that damages them, that damages likely the women that have been exploited in this situation. Somebody, God said, you know what? There's some dad, there's some guy, probably in a neighborhood within a mile from here, that is going to do something stupid. I need to send something into their life to stand as a roadblock between them and the terrible consequences of their lust that is not appropriately aligned. I almost want like a porn Google line item in our budget. Like, I almost want to find a way to stand, to realize that we can send something as simple as a Google advertisement as a way for God to reach someone, to take a step back and say, should I really make this choice? Because I want you to know, it doesn't have to be that dramatic for you to realize that when you are on the edge of making a decision that maybe you shouldn't, God might not send someone, but he might send something for you to be aware of that's like a bumper that says, don't go here. I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to love me with your whole heart. What has God put into your life to get your attention? And then the last one, what have you missed because you weren't looking for God working in your life? What have you missed? Here's the answer. We don't know. We don't know the rich blessing that we've missed. We don't know the relationships that we would have missed out on. We don't know the realignment that our life could have experienced that would have not had us make some of those difficult choices that maybe we're still paying the price for. We don't even know the cost. But that can be different starting today. That can be different starting today. What I want you to know and what I long for each of us is that beginning a relationship with Christ, renewing a relationship with Christ, having the eyes to see God working in your life through the people that he sends to you, has the potential to give you a greater awareness of his impact and will draw you closer to him. I pray that you get to see something you hadn't seen before because of your time here today.